We honor you. There's no one like you, sir. We'd rather be in your presence than be anywhere else. Father, I pray that your anointing would flow in this place, that your spirit would move. God, you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to perceive and understand your word. And more importantly, that our faith would rise in this place. Our faith, God, for the new, our faith in you, our faith, more importantly than anything else, in your word. And we'll give you all the grace, all the thanks, all the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning if you're able. Amen. Be seated if you would. Open your Bibles to the book of Jude this morning. And I want to read a few passages of scripture out of there. We'll start in verse 1. All right, it says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men who crept in unawares, who before of old ordained to the condemnment of ungodly, turning to the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now jump down to verse 9. It says this, yet when Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, not to bring against him a railing accusation, but he said these words, the Lord rebuke you. I want to talk to you this morning about leaving contentment and becoming a contender. And I don't like to ever give the devil credit at all. I want to create problems for him. I want to be his migraine, right? I don't want him to be my migraine. I want to be his migraine. I want to create havoc for him. I don't even like to be called a preacher anymore. I just want somebody to say, Sean Strong creates trouble for the devil professionally. And you know what I mean? Like, I don't like the fact that we're always making a real, and please excuse this phrase and terminology, but I think sometimes as Christians, if we're not careful, we really give a lot of credit to the devil that he doesn't deserve. And I'm not saying he ain't bad, because he is. I ain't saying that he's not tough, because he is. But right now, I traveled like 300 days last year. I think I'm going to do about 310 this year. And one thing I've noticed about going to church after church after church is the problems in our lives that we face every day aren't just in our lives. They're everywhere. People are battling things every day. People are dealing with things every day. I often say that you don't know what someone battled through when they walked through these doors this morning just to get here. Now, again, I'm not making out that we should say life is miserable, because life is good. But there is a real battle. There is a real devil, and he is after God's people. And one of the things that I see in Christian nature and in Christian people is sometimes I think it's easy. One unanswered prayer or one blow from the enemy isn't so bad. Two becomes a little more difficult. Three, you start wondering, what in the world is going on in my life? Anybody ever been there? No matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, it's almost like quicksand. It's like you start sinking. And you try to fight to get out of something, but no matter how hard you fight, you continually keep sinking. The harder you fight, the faster you sink. Anybody ever feel like that? And I was praying about this one day, and I heard these words. He said, son, my people have got to be contenders. And I was like, contending. Contending for what? Contending for things that I have for them, promises that I've given them. It is not enough. I refuse to lay down at the enemy's tactics. I refuse for the devil to overtake me and overwhelm me. Why? Because there is a power on the inside of me through the Holy Ghost that when I open up my mouth, the devil's got to run the other direction. The devil's got to relinquish his hold. The devil has to remove himself from the equation. Because here's the thing. I am not trying to get something. I've already got it through Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to overcome anything. Christ overcame it for me. However, I've got to have a mentality that lets the devil know I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in. I'm not going backwards. I'm not throwing in the towel because this is my season. This is the moment that God is going to give me the breakthrough I've been believing for. Church, I've come by to tell you this morning and encourage you. You are just one moment away from God exploding everything in your life that you've been believing God for. You are just one moment away from God answering your prayer. You're one praise away from Him abolishing everything the devil has done in your life. God is about to vindicate us in this season. God is about to make some wrongs right. The enemy has been attacking, but God said, I'm going to raise up a people that are going to withstand the attack, and they're going to charge the mountain. You're not going to be content anymore, but you're going to be some fighters. You're going to be some worshipers. You're going to be some praisers, and the devil's about to back up because of who you are, because God is in you. Can I get an amen in the house if you believe that? Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about the definition of a contender. Here's what contend means. It means to assert. It also means to maintain. It also means to hold claim. It also means to argue. How many know we got some ladies in the room that can contest to that? How many also know it means to insist? It also means to be in a state of declaration and profession. How many know your mouth matters? How many know what you speak matters? I know that we don't like that doctrine that says, you know, you're going to name it and blame it and blab it and grab it. And I'm going to explain something to you. I don't know how else to get the promises of God except through speaking the Word of God. And sometimes I have to speak it even if I ain't believing it. Sometimes I got to speak it even if I'm not feeling it. Anybody ever how many of you just don't feel it sometimes? You don't feel like praising God. You don't feel like, you know, opening up the Bible and saying a word and letting the devil know, no, you can't have my children. No, you can't have my body. No, you can't. Come on, how many know, even though you don't feel it, sometimes you got to speak it up out of your mouth. Sometimes you got to stand on it. Oh, Holy Ghost already. Sometimes you got to stand on it when nobody else wants to stand with you. Sometimes you got to listen. If God be for you, who can be against you? There is no devil big enough that can bring you down. Why? Because you've got the Word of God in your mouth, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces. It divides. It brings destruction to the devil's kingdom. Do we got some word people in here that no matter what you feel, you're going to speak the Word of God because you know the Word of God is real, and God will do exactly what He said He would do. If you believe that, say amen. And then it says this, it also means to fight and to maintain your position. Listen, I'm going to fight for some things in this season. And I was in prayer, and a lot of times God begins to deal with me about phrases and words, and I begin to hear these things, and I just heard them one by one, and so I wrote them down. Here's the first one we need to contend for. Church, in this season, we must contend for family salvation and family restoration. Listen, the devil hates families. Why? Because if he gets families, he's got the church. Come on, somebody. He's got the church. But how many know he's not going to have your children? They might be on crack cocaine right now, but God's got a way of escape for them. Amen. How many know God? Listen, the enemy may be attacking them, but God's got a way of escape for them. Amen. Hey, listen, the enemy might be attacking your family, but God has got a way of escape. I love what it says in Acts 16 and verse number 31. It says, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved and thy house. Church, you've got a promise. Your house will be saved. I said, your house will be saved. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what it sounds like. They may be in a gang. They may be in a place that they shouldn't be, but God's got a date for them. Come on, somebody. God has a place for them. Do we got some believers? Do we got some? I got some family members that the devil is going to let go in 2018 and in 2019. God is going to bring them back. God is going to bring them back home. Oh, man. I believe this with all of my heart, man. We've got to contend for our families. We've got to contend for our families. It is time we tell the devil to shut his mouth and back up. This is our family. You're not going to have our children. You're not going to have our grandchildren. I love what Psalms 102 and verse 18 says. It says, "For this shall be written, that a generation yet to come may praise the Lord." Let me explain that to you. You are praising God not only for you, but for your children and their children and their children. Your great-great-grandchildren will be saved because you are honoring God here today. Somebody would grab a hold of that word. God is going to do something for your family. Why? Because we've got a promise. Not only you, but your household. We've got to contend for our families. It is not enough. I got a sister right now. I got a sister right now. I'll tell you what, I had quite a year. I have a sister who is battling homosexuality. It is one of the toughest things I've ever battled in my whole life. And she got married to a spouse, and I ended up having to go. Her spouse just passed, and I had to go to this funeral. And I'll tell you right now, it was all I could do, man. They were preaching some things that I did not agree with. But let me explain something to you. I went to that funeral. My sister came up and hugged me, and I got a card from her just about 2 weeks later. She said, "Listen, I know that we didn't hardly speak at that funeral." She said, "But you walked in, and it was the first ray of light I had seen in a long time." Somebody, how many know? Listen, your presence... you'd understand, your presence makes a difference. They may not be where they're supposed to be right now, but they will come in Jesus' name. They will come in Jesus' name. They will be saved in Jesus' name. They will give up in Jesus' name. They will be filled with the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. We must contend for family salvation. And then I heard the Lord say this, number two, you've got to tell my people they've got to contend for their healing. Listen, it is not normal God's people be sick. There's a stripe for that. Huh? There's a stripe for that. There's a stripe for diabetes. There's a stripe for high blood pressure. There's a stripe for cancer. There's a stripe, come on, for bad cataracts and eye problems. There's a stripe for every condition known to mankind. Why? Because Psalms 107 and verse 20 says this, "He sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destructions." God is about to deliver you out of the pain of your body. Oh, come on, can I get a witness in the house? There is healing for you today by the stripes of Jesus Christ. And listen, can I just say this like this? Listen, healing is not a future promise, it's a past fact. It's not a future promise, it's a past fact. It's already been taken care of. So you got to stand up in your faith and say, "Devil, my healing's already been paid for. I'm just waiting on the manifestation of it. And it's about to show up in Jesus' name." Do something that you couldn't do. Lift up your hands that you couldn't do. Do something that you couldn't do in your body. And I can promise you, by your faith, the Lord will touch your body. Why? Because he healed them, he delivered them, and he sent his word, and he made sure destruction would not come to them. You are healed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're anointed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and no devil in hell is big enough to make you unhealthy. Listen, well, Brother Strong, I've said it, keep saying it. I mean, look in yourself in that mirror and say, "Listen, baby, you're as healed as you got to be to do the job you've got to do." Huh? Look in that mirror and say, "Man, you're as anointed to be to do the job you've got to do. You're as good looking as you need to be to do the job you've got to do." Look yourself in that mirror and say, "You are healed by the stripes of Jesus." Look yourself in the mirror and say, "Devil, you will get your hands off me. I take authority over you in the name of Jesus Christ." And you don't need a prophet. You don't need an evangelist. You don't need a pastor. You've got the Holy Ghost right there in your belly button. Speak to that ailment. Speak to that sickness. Speak to your body and watch God raise you up, because God has given you the power of the Holy Ghost to tell the devil, "No more. Healing is yours in Jesus' name." Oh, man, when I talk about faith, I just get this fighting mentality. Anybody just feel like fighting this morning? Oh, you ought to tell the devil, "You came to the wrong house today. You shouldn't have put your hands on my body today." Oh, come on. Rebasando robo shetera. You are anointed of the Holy Ghost. The devil's got to back up. There's power in you because the Lord Jesus Christ dwells on the inside of you, and no devil in hell is going to keep you sick forever in Jesus' name. Healing belongs to you in Jesus' name. All right. Here we go. We're going to lose all the religious people on this one. He said, you've got to contend for prosperity. I'm going to give you one verse to start this point off. Genesis 13, verse number 2. It says, and Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Now, I got a question. I was thinking about this the other day. If being wealthy was wrong, how come the devil hasn't given us all $1 million? Now you think about that question. How come every one of us, if being wealthy was so wrong, if it was so against God's will, how come the devil hadn't given us all $1 million? Now, I'm not saying that a millionaire makes you prosperous, okay? I'm not just saying there's wealth of wisdom. There's a wealth of joy. There's a whole lot of definitions of wealth. But I'm going to tell you something. It is not fair and it is not right that the pornographers have all the money. Huh? You put money in a youth pastor's hands, he'll win the lost. You put it in a drug dealer's hands, he'll kill children with it. But how many know if you put it in the house of God and you put it with God's people, how many know we can feed the hungry with more money? How many know we can do more things if we had more money? Listen, I was in prayer one day, Dr. Joe, and I was talking to the Lord, and you ever had the Lord ask you a question? Are you plugged in? Huh? And he said, son, what's the two things on this planet you cannot live without? I don't know. I'm not real sure. He said, well, let's go over to 1 John. We went over to 1 John and he said, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and you would be in good health even as your soul prospers. And then God asked me again, what's the two things you cannot live without? He said, you cannot live without health and you cannot live without wealth. I got news for you. I'm not going to be 70 years old walking around feeble. I'm going to be dancing and praising God and I'm going to have some money in my pocket. Come on, somebody. I'm going to send missionaries around the world. I got dreams, man. I want to pay this building off, build another one. And Pastor Joe said, man, I need 10 grand. I just want to write the check and say, have it. It's not my money. It's God's money. Man, I wish somebody would get excited about God blessing you for the kingdom. Listen to what how many like that scripture? Abraham was very rich in cattle. He was rich in silver. He was rich in gold. How many like that verse? How many of you'd say, well, Brother Strong, that's in the Old Testament. That's not for me. Oh, on the contrary. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 6 says this. But now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry. By now how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Man, if he did that for Abraham, think what he wants to do with you. Better covenant, better promises. Are you hearing what I'm saying? How can you get better than riches, silver, cattle, and gold? You can have more. Man, I guess some of you like being broke. That should have made you excited. I got dreams, man. I got dreams. I want to be on television one day, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can't do it without money. I can't do it without the means. Now I'm not. Now listen to me. There's a difference. There's a difference in prostitution and restitution. Huh? I don't want to prostitute the gospel. I don't want to manipulate God's people. But how many know God has given us enough wealth? Let me show you the greatest definition of prosperity I've ever found: having enough money on this earth to fulfill your God-given assignment, and have enough left over to help somebody else fulfill theirs. That's prosperity. I'm not talking, listen, that means the lady that's making $80,000 a year, come on, she's only got $40,000 in bills. She's got $40,000 left over. I'm going to know she's prosperous. But the lady or man that's making $1 million but got $3 million in bills, I'm going to know he's not prosperous just because he's dealing with millions. This is way better. Some of you Lutherans are helping me this morning. Huh? Come on. That's good preaching. Huh? God wants you prosperous. God wants you blessed. God, and listen, you can only have one house at a time. You can only live in one car. You can only drive one car at a time. God don't care if you have stuff, as long as stuff don't have you. Because it's not yours anyway. If God gave you the house and he tells you to give it away, be sure to give it away because it ain't yours anyway. He's got a harvest in mind. It's not your house anyway. God gave it to you. Everything we have came from God. So listen, he is our wealth. He is our source. Let me give you a prime example. One day, I'm in revival, and I can tell you where I'm at. I'm in Des Moines, Iowa. Now, some of you are going to get real jealous, real agitated, and real irritated, but it's okay. I know who my God is. And I'm in prayer one morning, and I'm kind of in a situation. I do not like being away from my wife and have my wife calling me, right? She's calling me. She's kind of distressed. She's a little upset. We're having problems with our car, and we had a 2005 minivan at that time. It was crazy, 270,000 miles. She calls me, and she's crying. She's like, it's leaking water everywhere. And I'm thinking, man, the radiator's busted. No, she's like, no, it's coming inside the actual car, you know? So I got in prayer one morning, and I said, you know what, Lord? I said, I am not going to go in debt for a car. I'm going to believe you that you are my source. And have you ever been in prayer and said something that caught God's attention? And so I caught God's attention, man. When I said he's my source, it was like I felt the glory just fill that room. And so what did I do? I said it about 100 more times till I felt it lift. Huh? I said, you're my source. God, I thank you, my soul. I just said it until I couldn't feel that feeling anymore. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? When it just comes over you. I felt it and I felt it. Well, I prayed and I just believe. I said, God, I'm not going in debt. You're going to make a way. You're going to do it because you're a good God. God, you're going to have to give me a car or let me sell a car and make some money and do. But you're going to provide. And I never thought anything else about it. A week and a half later, I went to Richmond, Indiana. And I'm getting there and I'm preaching and revival breaks out. We start seeing people saved, people healed, people delivered. We ended up extending the meeting. And then a lady on the last night when I'm leaving comes up and taps me on the shoulder. And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, Brother Strong, she said, I need to talk to you. And I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, listen, I know it's crazy, but she said, I can't get over this feeling the last 3 days that I feel like I'm supposed to give you my car. I'm like, what? And so I did the evangelistic thing. And I said, well, what kind of car is it? I have had people give me cars that I could not get titles to, and that is not a lie. I ain't joking. I said, well, what kind of car? She walked me over to a 2012 Honda Pilot with only 56,000 miles. How many know God will answer your prayer? God will bless you. Come on, you don't have to have money. God can bless you. One day of favor is worth a lifetime of labor, and God has better covenants with better promises. He wants to bless you in this day and in this hour. Amen. Well, I guess y'all are not excited about that. Then I heard the Lord say this. You got to tell my people they've got to contend for miracles. We serve a supernatural God. Not a natural God. A supernatural. That means when there's no kidney, he can create one. Huh? There's no spine, he can create one. I love what Genesis says. If in the actual Hebrew, it says where it says God creator. That actually means Elohim, which means God the creator, not created. That means he's not finished creating yet. That means it's not done. He's not finished. And we have got to come to this place that we understand he is a miracle working God with supernatural power that exceeds the natural limits, and he breaks the laws of gravity. He's a good God. He's a faithful God. And everything we want him to do is possible. Why? Because he's just God all by himself. Huh? I said, he's God all by himself. I love what Matthew 19:26 says. It says, and Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. There is nothing that is impossible to our God. If God can give Abraham a baby at 100 years old, what can God do for you? If God can bring Daniel out of the lion's den, what can God do for you? If God can bring them across the Red Sea on dry ground, what can God do for you? If our God can raise up Jesus on the third day, what can our God do for you? And that same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that lives within you and I. Oh, we must believe God for miracles. We must believe God for miracles. What do you mean? Anything. 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 Anything you're believing God for, anything. I don't care if it sounds crazy. I don't care if it's an Oscar Mayer weenie whistle that you didn't get when you were a kid when you were 5 years old. God is a miracle worker. working God. He's able. He wants to. He wants to. How many of you know my son Jeremiah? Anybody met my son Jeremiah? I love my son, but there's nobody on this planet that can get under my skin faster than my boy Jeremiah. I love that boy, but I'm telling you what, that has got to be my lesson in life, right? He's a good kid, but that's my lesson. He's not bad. It's all on me. One day we're getting ready for camp meeting, and I'm having him do some weed eating around my property because we got a bunch of preachers coming in. They're going to come over to our house and see our house. And I got him weed eating. It was our old house. We bought a new property now, but in our old house, we had this big old double screen door. It's big, heavy. And the thing was hard to pull. You remember that door, Sean? Thing couldn't hardly pull it across. But I had window tint on it, so you could see. You couldn't see in the inside, but you could see the outside. And I told him, I said, now listen to me, son. Whatever you do, don't get up here by this door. Because if you get up here by this door, you're going to throw a rock up here, and you're going to knock that glass out, and then we're going to have a bad day. Little did he know that I had already bought a new door to put in there. But he doesn't know that. So anyways, I'm at that time, I'm building my office. We bought a mobile home and made it our office, our headquarters. And so we're working out there, and all of a sudden, my kid comes screaming, oh, Dad, don't kill me. Please don't kill me. I'm thinking, man, what in the world is going on? You know, he's cut his sister's toe off or something, you know. I'm thinking, there's no blood. I can't see any blood anywhere. I'm trying to figure. He's panicking. He's hyperventilating. He's like, Dad, please don't kill me. Please. I was like, would you please stop crying and tell me what is the matter with you? He said, I got up there by the glass, and I broke the glass like you told me not to do. And I said, you did what? What? I got up there by the glass when I told you not to get up by the glass. And I love my wife at this time, right? She's like, all right, guys, love you. See you later. Got to run some errands. So I got 5,000 billion pieces of glass shards all over my front porch. And then I clean it all up. And now I got to take this kid to go eat some lunch after he breaks my glass. So I get in the car, and we'll just, for sake of time, we'll just say we go to Dairy Queen. And so we're going to Dairy Queen, and I know what this four-eyed kid is going to do. He's going to look up at me, and he's going to say, when we get to Dairy Queen, we're going to order our food, we're going to be in the line, and he's going to look over at me, and he's going to ask me this question. Hey, Dad, can I get a Blizzard? Huh? And in the insides, I'm like, no, you can't have a Blizzard. You just broke my door, and you want a Butterfinger Blizzard? Who in the world does he think he is? I'll tell you who he is. That's my boy. And he had no reservations of looking over at his source and saying, Dad, can I have a Blizzard? Can I tell you, you might be in the darkest moment of your life. You might have even broken some glass, but your dad is going to give you a Blizzard with a cherry on top because you're his. He's a good God. He's a faithful God. He wants to give you miracles. So what do? I buy him the Blizzard. That's my boy. You are God's. You are God's. You don't have to have all your ducks in a row for him to give you a miracle. Oh, church, are you hearing me? You don't have to be in the perfect situation for him to give you a miracle. Why? Because you belong to him. He wants to bless you. He wants to honor his word. He wants to watch over his word and perform it. He wants to be a good father to you, even if you broke a glass door. He said, nothing is impossible. Oh, all right. Here we go. I'm going to move on to this one. You need to contend for your mountain. Now, I was praying about this, and I'm going to need some volunteers. Come here, Adam. Come here, Sean. How many of you, back in the day, ever played King of the Mountain? Now, say hello to God. Say hello to the devil. Isn't he a pretty devil? Ladies, he's single. Stand over here, Sean. So I'm a representation of all of us in this room. I'm a representation of your life. I have a mountain that I'm on top of. And for years, what the church has done is just one thing. We want to be out here fighting with the devil when we have no business standing here at all. We need to be standing on our mountain. Now, Adam, I want you to do your best to get to me. I don't care what it takes. Sean, he does not get to me. I'm going to give you 15 seconds. Are you ready? On your mark, get set, go. 5, 4. Huh? That's what God is doing right there. He is keeping the devil from your mountain. You're not leaving your mountain today. You're staying right here. Oh, man. Holy, listen to me now. Listen to me. We have no business. We have no business trying to fight the devil that we were never meant to fight. Listen to me now. Listen. Thanks, boys. Listen. Listen to this verse right here. Psalms 55 and verse number 22. I love this verse. Can you put this one up on the screen for me? I want everybody to see this. I want you to see this verse. How many of you got your paper Bible? Anybody get your paper Bible or your electronic device? Look at this verse with me. Psalms 55 and verse number 22. I want you to look at this verse. This is real important. Once they get it posted up on the screen, I'm going to read it. This is important. I got two more. We're not in a hurry, are we? We're doing good. We're doing good today. I haven't even bored. Have I bored you? We stand good. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. Not you. He will. And then watch this. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Oh, what a verse. What a verse. He will never, and listen, one translation says it like this. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. You're not going to be moved to the left, to the right, off of your mountain. Why? Because God is sustaining you right where you are. That throws out the window that Christians can have a life of up and down. Up and down. It is God's will for you not to be an emotional roller coaster 24 hours a day. It is God's will that no matter what, you will not be moved. That may not excite you, but that excites me. Let me tell you why. Because for years, man, in my younger Christian days, and I'm very prophetic, so I battle it 10 times worse than you. I mean, one day, man, you know what I'm saying? I'm wiping out Baal, and the next day I'm wanting to kill myself underneath the tree. I'm up in a cave hiding somewhere. Huh? But let me tell you something. That's not God's will. His word should be solid enough that nothing moves you. Not the doctor's report, not what the lawyer said, not what your children are doing, not what crazy people of the church are acting like. It is not God's will for you to be moved. You're staying the same. You're staying stable. No matter what happens, you are there. You're not going to left, you're not going to move to the right. God's got you in His hand, and no devil, no demon, no trial, no storm, no frustration will ever move you to the left or the right. Why? Because God said, I'll sustain the righteous. I will sustain the righteous. Well, Brother Strong, now listen, I understand we all have bad days. I get it. But I'm going to tell you what, I don't have them near as long. I don't have them near as long. I don't want them. Anybody want them? You like being depressed? Don't be my friend. Because we won't get along very quick. Because I'll tell you right now, snap out of it, man. The devil's a liar. He may pull off. Listen, I heard a word from God not long ago. This is it right here. You ready? Listen, the devil may delay you of the inevitable, but he'll never deny you of the inevitable. No matter what, you're going to get your answer. No matter what, God is going to do it. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it sounds like. Why? Because He sustains the righteous and they'll never be moved. You'll not be moved to the left or the right. The devil may be pulling all kinds of crazy, but you are staying the same 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Why? Because God is good. Oh. I'm telling you right now, some of you, not everybody, but some of you, they're watching you. They're seeing what church you go to. That's right. They're watching your actions. They're watching your attitude. And I promise you, if you come to work depressed, bitter, angry, frustrated, I'm going to ask what church you go to, and I'm going to ask who your preacher is, and remind me not to go there. You know, Monday morning blues, you know, I got to go to work. I got to get up. I mean, man, we shouldn't look like that. We should look like some crackheads for Jesus, man. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm saying? Hey, baby, how you doing? Man, what church are you going to? Can I tell you what happened yesterday at my church? Somebody got healed. Somebody got delivered. Somebody got restored. The power of God was there. Man, I feel good. I'm alive because of Jesus Christ. Huh? I'm barely getting by. How life's treating you? It could be better. What? What? You have the King of the Universe in your heart. No devil is big enough to keep you from your joy. Man, we should be glad we're saved. Huh? Some of you depress me. Please tell your brain to tell your face to smile. I'm saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. Because that's not the same Holy Ghost I got. He said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, come on, somebody. The joy of the Lord is my strength. My goodness, we should laugh. We should be the most happiest people on the planet. Even if you don't have everything you want, you've got everything. His name is Jesus Christ. Huh? Oh. Oh, man, I'm glad to be saved. Woo! Come on, it puts it. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. It gets you that, oh yeah, baby, oh yeah. Huh? Oh, I love him. I love him. I love being in his presence. I love hearing his voice. Oh, when the devil surrounds me and he says one word or he says a verse, I love to hear his voice. Son, I'm with you. I'm never going to let you be moved. I've got you in the palm of my hand. No devil's big enough. No sickness is strong enough. I've got you. No weapon formed against you will prosper. For greater is the... Come on, we have the greater one living in us. We have the greater one living in us. Contend for your mountain. Now, devil, this is my mountain right here. This is mine. My children are on it. My finances are on it. Man, I got news for you. I ain't got a backup plan. He is my plan. All these people worried about health insurance. I understand. I thank God for doctors. We got a couple of great ones right here. But I'm going to tell you right now, they're awesome. I love their human knowledge. But we've got the God of the universe that sent his only son to die for us. He will answer our prayers. Brother Strong, you just don't know how many times my heart is broke. Look me in my eyes. I don't care. He'll do it. I don't know when. I don't know how. He'll do it. He'll do it. He's got to do it. I'm at a place in my ministry. He's got to. I don't have any other way. God's got to do it in this season. I can't do it. My hands can't do it. I can't work hard enough. God has got to do it. God's got to do it. He'll lead me. He'll guide me. I've got to be obeying. I've got to listen to the instructions, but he will do it. He will do it. Contend for your mountain. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't contend. Leave contentment and start fighting for what's yours. Brother Strong, I just don't know about this fight thing. We'll just stand there and get kicked in. Because that's what 90% of us in this room are doing. I get it. The attacks seem overwhelming. Wave after wave after wave after wave. Man, the battle's intense. It's intense right now. But I'm telling you right now, for every intense battle, there's an insane victory. Let me rewind and try that again. Let me tell you right now, for every insane battle, come on, there's every intense battle, there's an insane victory. Then I heard the Lord say this, tell my people to fight for new territory. Listen, I'm going to share with you another story, and you're going to think it's crazy, and I don't really care. But I'm going to share with you a verse first. Joshua 1, verse number 2. I love this verse. Man, Pastor Joe, if this is a verse for the 21st century church, this is it right here. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all of this people, unto the land which I give unto them, even to the children of Israel. And verse 3, this is the verse right here. And every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I've said unto Moses. I have a preacher friend of mine. He was in need of a miracle, needing a car. Another car story. It's true, though. True story. His church people thought he was nuts when he preached this verse one Sunday. And his church used to be across the street from some dealerships. And he went over and he put his foot on the brow of that one of them cars that he was believing God for. I won't tell you what it is because some of you get jealous. He puts his foot right there and he said, God, whatever you told me, whatever I put my foot upon, you said I could have it. He said, I'm believing. Just said a prayer, did whatever. Everybody, church members were driving by. This is not long after church. They're honking at him. You're crazy, man. You know, I can't believe you did that. Da-da-da, I can't believe you went and did that. Till a week and a half later, he drove up in it. The very one he put his foot on. Can you imagine if you could just take a picture of your child right now that's running crazy from God, put it on the ground and just put your foot on and say, every place that I put the sole of my foot upon. Whew. Brother Strong, that's crazy. No, it's called faith. Faith is contrary to our natural way of thinking. Have you ever seen a bee have faith? Oh, have you ever seen the 1-2 of a bee that wants to sting you? Oh, he don't give up. Oh, no, no, no. He lands on your arm. What's he do? But no matter what, he just keeps coming. He just keeps coming. He is not good. He wants something piling off your shirt or something. He has found you. You're his target. How many know we got to have the want to like that bee? No matter what, I'm going to keep coming. The devil may swat me. The devil may push me. No matter what, but I got some territory that I put my feet upon. This is Cross Creek season for brand new territory. Wouldn't it be awesome if 10 new families came before the end of 2019? Wouldn't it be awesome if we got a new building with some new land paid for? Come on, wouldn't it be awesome if God did that? Come on, I dare somebody to get a hold of faith. Whatever you're believing God for, I dare you to put your foot on it and tell the devil, this is my territory. This is my season. We're taking it back for Jesus Christ. Man, I'm telling you, let me explain to you new territory, church. We got to get hungry to win the lost again. We got to get hungry to win the lost. Huh? New territories. Last one and I'm closing. You got to contend for the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, for those of you that are spirit-filled in this room, I want to tell you something. And I say this with humility. And I say it to all of us, me included. There is more in you than you realize. There's more power in you. There's more authority in you. There's more strength in you. There's more knowledge in you because of the Holy Ghost than you realize. You can't wait. Stop waiting and use the power that God's given you. I'll give you an example. My daughter, see, the thing is, just like I tell you have to believe, so do I. We got a report from a fabulous doctor. Brooklyn might have scoliosis. She come home all tore up. My daughter's real sensitive. She came home all tore up. They called me. My wife called me. She was crying. And I know you're going to think I'm really mean, but this is how I operate. This is me. So if you don't like me, give a rip. It's me. I will tell you this. Immediately when that came out of my mouth, I said, no. She said, don't you even care? I said, no. You can't have two men at the same time. I'm either going to be a man of faith or I'm going to be your husband right now. But right now, I can't be both. So which do you prefer? She said, be the man of faith right now. I said, I refuse that report in Jesus' name. I will not take it. I will not accept it. I refuse it. I mean, I told her, we're going to pray for her. We're going to lay our hands on her. And the answer will be no. I think that she came back this last month, and there's just a tiny little hint of it now. And they said it's possible she might even outgrow it. I will not give up because I have power. And we got a good doctor. Huh? What's the first thing she did? Brooklyn, let's pray. Huh? Come on. That's what she did. She said, Brooklyn, let's pray. Come on. She prayed with her right then and there. Why? Because she's got power. We've got power. We've got power. I love what Acts chapter 1, 7 and 8 says. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times nor the seasons that the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld him, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. He leaves, and a transfer of power comes. That same power that took Jesus up to the heavens is the same power that dwells right behind our belly button. We've got to start using our power. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. We have power. Brother Strong, it can't be that simple. On the contrary, it is that simple. I wasn't feeling the best a couple of days ago, standing out in my yard, and I said, listen, devil, you're done. Back up. I've got power. I've got authority. It is not just up to the preacher. It's not up to the prophet or the evangelist. You have that same power. It's in you. Lay hands on the sick. Prophesy to dead hope. Prophesy to dead things. Speak life into frustrating circumstances. But use your power. Use your power. Now we understand when I say your power, I'm talking about the power of the Holy Ghost, not you by yourself. I'm talking about the God within you that stands at attention every time that you say his name. The power of the Holy Ghost. Pray in tongues more than you pray in English. Activate that power. Build yourself up in the most holy faith. I mean, pray in it. Pray in it. Pray in it in the shower. Rabba sundo. Come on, pray in it while you're getting dressed. Well, that kind of scares me. It shouldn't. That should be the power that flips the switch. There is a power of the, listen to me, Cross Creek. God has given every single person in this church power of the Holy Ghost. And you have power, come on, to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to cleanse the leper. We say that as cliche statements, but listen to me. You have that kind of power. Don't just let it roll off your tongue. I got, you know, power to raise the dead, cleanse the liver. Don't know. I've got power to speak to dead things and they must come back to life. I've got power to lay hands on someone's body and the pain have to go in Jesus' name. You have that power. Cross Creek, there's more in you than you realize. You got to dig down there deep and grab a hold of it. And you got to pull it up. There's going to be days you don't feel like getting out of bed. Just say these words, I have power. There's going to be days the enemy just looks like he's surrounding you. Say these words, I got power. It's not my power, but it's his divine power. Stand with me this morning all over the house. I want to make a simple but short simplistic challenge to you this morning. Man, I understand the frustrations of life. I get it. They're there. They're real. But you don't have to stay there. You can contend for what's yours. You can fight for it. It belongs to you. Every promise, everything the devil has stole from you, get it back. Go get it back. But you can't doing it laying there. I know that I've shared this story before, but I'm going to share it one more time as we wrap this up this morning. Two boxers in the 1950s were in a championship bout. One of them was the champion of the world. The other one was the underdog contender. The papers wrote this in the headlines. This young contender will be outmatched, outwitted. He has no chance to win this fight. How many of you just get tired of fighting? It's just a truthful statement. You get tired of fighting. 15 rounds of boxing back in the 50s. The first round was just like the papers read. The champion decimated him, knocked him down once. He gets back up. He goes to the corner, and the trainer says one thing: do me one favor, give me one more round. Round two, same thing. Round three, same thing. Got to round four and five, and every time he would come back to the corner, the trainer would say the same phrase: would you please just give me one more round? Finally, round 10, round 11, the underdog starts to get a few licks in here and there. Kind of starts getting the champion cut up a little bit. Nobody thought he would last this long. Round 13, same thing. Give me one more round. Round 14, he comes, he sits in the corner, and you know what they do back in the day? They get the big ice packs and they put it on their cheek and they're fixing the cuts. And he looks at the fighter, the contender, and says these words: you just stood toe-to-toe with the best boxer in the world for 14 rounds. Now do me a favor. Let this be the round you become the new heavyweight champion of the world. Give me one more round. And he goes out, and a minute and I think 45 or 57 seconds, something like that, he knocks the champion down and became the new heavyweight champion of the world. Listen to me. You might have fought the toughest 14 rounds of your life in this last season. But do me a favor. Be the contender God has called you to be and give him one more round. Just give him one more round. Just give him one more round. And this round, you get to knock the devil out and become the new heavyweight champion of the world that you're living in. Anybody feel that this morning? How many would say, Brother Strong, you know what? I need to step it up and become a new contender and give God one more round. Raise your hand high. I want to see him all over this place. Raise your hand high. Don't be shy. Come on, don't be shy. Do me a favor. If you're that person and you got your hand raised, I want you to come and join me at this altar. Just come and join me. I'm not going to keep you long this morning. Just come and join me. I want this to be a declaration, a statement of your faith. I'm going to contend for what God has promised me. I'm going to contend for what the Lord said I could have. My children, my grandchildren, my finances, everything that God has for me. Healing in my body, restoration in my home, restoration in my family. Oh, come on, I feel the Holy Ghost moving right now. Come on, there's a new spirit of contending happening right now. There's a new spirit of faith that's rising up, rising up in this place. There's a new spirit of faith that's grabbed a hold of some people's hearts. Come on, lift up your hands this morning and begin to just worship the Lord with me. Oh, he's awesome. He's awesome. He's awesome. He's honorable. You know that song you were singing? I've got a breakthrough. God's give me that song.